And I'm just holding on to his hand wherever he leads us. Amen. Thank you, Brother Means. Good song. Take your Bible, please, this morning. Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians and chapter number 15. I'm glad to be back. I got back from vacation, and I bought a new motorcycle. And I went on vacation, but the whole time I was on vacation, I was thinking, why didn't I bring my motorcycle with me? You know? And I was chomping at the bit to drive it and to go. And so I got home and got all my initial stuff done. You know, when you come back from vacation, you got to go through the mail and, you know, solve all the little problems. The 35 phone calls you didn't answer while you were gone, you have to go through and answer. You know how that goes. And so I did all that, and I said, okay, I'm going to get on my motorcycle. And I went down to Turner Falls and set up a tent all by myself. And you got to know me. I'm an early bird. I wake up early, but my cell phone died, and I'm in a tent, and it's dark. And I'm wide awake. 4 a.m. And there ain't nothing. And I hear footsteps outside my tent. Because I can hear the leaves crackling. I'm trying to find something. Grab my cell phone. Whoever you are, you enter that door, you are going to die by a cell phone. Grab my cell phone. And I did have a light. I got me I had a DeWalt light. You know what I mean? You put the battery in it, you turn it on. But I noticed one thing. When you turn it on and you're in the tent, it makes everything in the tent. You can see it from the outside, not the inside. Okay? So I said, I can't have that. I can't turn that light on. Because then whoever's out there is going to know everything who's in here. So I can't turn the light on. I just kill him with my cell phone. Yeah. And this walking came out. So I gently got around. I grabbed that light. Slowly unzipped the tent door. Opened it up. Shine my light. It wasn't Sasquatch. It was a wild turkey. It was a wild turkey. In fact, there were about six of them right outside my tent. I said, come here, I need some dinner. I got my cell phone. Come here. And for some reason, that turkey felt led to go away. Amen? Run away. So we're not having turkey for potluck today. Sorry. Amen. But I will tell you one thing. When I was traveling back, I came all the way back, got back in Norman. I'm driving in the right-hand lane, and a big old truck passed me. Right when he passed me, I mean right after he passed me, he blew a tire. And it sounded like a shotgun. And that tire blew off and threw his tire everywhere. I'm trying to dodge his tire. But if he'd have been 1 or 2 seconds earlier, that truck tire would have blown right. I mean, it was the right rear truck tire. He blew. Sounded like a shotgun. And, you know, I'm thankful God takes care of us sometimes. God's watching out for us, whether you realize it or not sometimes. But it's good to realize it. Because there's a God, he's in control. Amen? Well, that had nothing to do with my message. It's just a good story. Amen? But let's take our text up this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, or I'm sorry, chapter 15. And we're going to begin here with verse number 42. And so follow along this morning. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42. Bible says here, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne them, the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we ask your help and your blessings as we preach the word this morning. Pray you'd open our hearts to what you want to say to us. Pray you'd meet us right where we are in our own life. And Lord, you know our greatest needs. You know our greatest burdens. You know the things that hang in our minds and in our hearts. And Lord, I pray that thy word would just meet with us today and that, Lord, you'd help us to just focus on you for these next few moments and focus on thy word this morning as it meets each one of our needs. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for guiding us safely through the week. And Lord, I pray that you'd take the word of God now and manifest it in our minds and our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to speak this morning on the subject, I'm ready for the trumpet. I'm ready for the trumpet. The Bible reminds us that one day there will be a trumpet, and it will be the last one in verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, there is going to be one final great trumpet blow. The trumpet shall sound. In other words, you're going to be able to hear this trumpet. Amen? And the dead shall be raised incorruptible. This trumpet will blow so profoundly that the dead in Christ will hear it. And the Bible says they shall be changed. We shall be changed at the blowing of this trumpet. Now, I don't know about you, but as I walk through this old sinful world, I get a little bit lonely. I get a little bit homesick. I'm not of this world, and if you're saved, you're not of this world either. We have a different home. We're just living out of a suitcase right now. This life and these days are short. But the older I get, the more I'm thankful for that, because I'm listening, I'm ready for a trumpet to blow. When I hear of the evil and the corruption that goes on in our world, and I see the filth around me, and you know, I have kids and grandkids, and I don't want them to be infected by the filth of this world. I want them to know Jesus as their Savior and live their life for Him. And by the way, you can live for Christ even in a filthy world. Amen? This world doesn't determine what we have to do. It doesn't determine what we do. God should determine what we do and His Word. And He said, you know, one day there's going to be a trumpet, And it's going to come very quickly. It's going to come in a moment, just like that. In the twinkling of an eye. I used to think that this meant the blinking of an eye when I was a kid. Doesn't mean the blinking of an eye. The fastest known element to man is the twinkling of an eye. It's so quick you can't see it, you can't catch it. It's when light suddenly hits a certain part of your eye and boom, it's there and it's gone. It's hardly even noticeable. The twinkling of an eye. It's how quick that it's going to happen. This trumpet will sound. We're reminded in Matthew that two will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other will be left. There will be two in the field and they'll be working. They'll be chopping, they'll be doing their work in the field, but one will be taken and the other left. How that happened? In a moment. In a moment. It's not going to be long. Just like that. One will look over, a husband will look over and see and look for his wife, and she won't be there. A wife will look over and look for her husband, and he'll be gone. A child will look up for their father, but he'll be gone. And a father will look down to his child and his infant 1 minute, and the next be gone. Because Scripture tells us there's a trumpet going to blow one day. There's a trumpet going to blow. And when it blows, it'll happen quickly. The world cannot continue to go on the way it is. And the Christian cannot continue in an evil, corruptible world. There is a rest for the children of God. There is a day coming. There is a day coming when it won't matter what man does. It will only matter what Jesus does. We live in a time when God is pouring out his goodness and his kindness and his grace even to man. Even to the evil man, God is pouring out his grace even today in hopes that that man in his evil heart will recognize a God who loves him and wants to save him despite his sin and wants to give him a home in heaven. God is gracious to us now. He's pouring out his mercy to us. And may I tell you that the most evil man in this world, God is patient with them. Thank God. Thank God. He is living in hopes that they will recognize the sacrifice of God's Son Jesus on the cross. That by receiving him, that sacrifice, that blood sacrifice is there. And thus redeeming them to go to heaven when they die. And when they hear the trumpet sound, they will leave this old earth. You know, the Bible tells us one day when that trumpet sounds that the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Wow. How'd you like to be in a graveyard when that happens? How'd you like to be driving by a graveyard? Whoo! What was that? They left that old grave. They left that old grave. There'll still be a lot of graves covered. Still be a lot of graves covered, but there'll be some graves. They'll be up and they'll be changed in a moment. In a twinkling of an eye. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? If Jesus were to come today, how would he find you? Would he find the blood of Christ applied to every sin that you've ever committed? Would he find that? He can. He wants to. Would he find the blood of Christ there? Or would he still find a sinful heart on our account that makes us as humans corruptible? Would he find sin? Would he find sin? You know, when God comes again and that trumpet blows, he cannot take sin, sinful man with him. He can't take corruption with him. It has to stay on this earth. It has to eventually die and go to a sinful hell forever and ever. You say, preacher, do you believe in hell? It's in the Bible more times than in heaven is in the Bible. More times. How could I not believe something that's in the Bible? Amen. But one day, God's going to come down. That trumpet's going to be the judge. That trumpet's going to know the difference between the corruptible and the incorruption. And may I tell you what? When that trumpet sounds, you and I don't want to be caught in our sin. We want to have the blood of Jesus applied to that. Because when that trumpet blows, I'm going to shoot straight up faster than a sonic jet. I'm going up and you're going up. Amen? If you're saved, if you know him. Now I want you to see, first of all, I want you to see there's a problem when the trumpet blows. There's a problem. Are you with me? Here's a problem. I want you to notice verse number 53. Verse number 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. You cannot get to heaven with sin. You can't do it. You're not going to happen. You say, well, I've sinned, preacher. How do I get to heaven? Can I tell you? The blood of Christ has to be applied to your sin. And without the blood of Christ being applied to your sin, that trumpet's going to blow. You're not going to hear it. And you're going to be that one left, and you're going to see others leave. You wake up one morning, and your wife's gone. You wake up one morning, and your husband's gone. You wake up one day, and one of your children are gone. Yeah. The Bible declares it. Bible says there's a trumpet going to blow. But the problem is that those that have corruption, as Scripture tells us, will not be changed, will not be hearing that trumpet. How sad. Can you imagine being without your child forever? Can you imagine being out without your husband, your wife forever? Think about it. Because God said, he declared it in his word, these things are going to happen. So there's a problem. There's a problem. I want you to take your Bible and go with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. Hold your finger there. 2 Peter, just a few pages back, about 30 or 40 pages to the right in your Bible. 2 Peter chapter 2. Go there. I want you to see something. 2 Peter 2, look at verse number 12. Go to chapter 1, look at verse 4. Sorry about that. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature. Here it is. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now God said there is an escape. There is an escape from the corruption of the world. See, everybody sinned. We've all corrupted. We're all corrupted. Now, if you say I'm not a sinner, then you got your head in the sand. Right? You're like the ostrich. Put your head in the sand. I don't see no sin, preacher. There ain't no sin in me. I asked a man one time, I said, have you ever sinned? He said, no, I've never sinned. I said, you just did. We've all sinned. It'd be good if we all just came to that conclusion, because it's as obvious as the nose on our face, right? We've all sinned. That's our problem. But there's an escape from the corruption. Are you glad about that? There's an escape. I like escapes. Amen? When that truck was driving by me, I was dodging the tires. I got through. I was like, whoo, I escaped that one. Can I tell you, there's a greater escape. That greater escape is that escape from this whole earth one day when that trumpet sounds. There's an escape. God said you can be escaped. Now go back, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I want to show you what that is. I want you to notice it. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Are you with me? Look at verse number 45. It says, and so it was, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now, what's he talking about? The first Adam and the second Adam? Who's he talking about? The first Adam was the one created and put in the Garden of Eden. Now, what did he do? He sinned, didn't he? He took of that forbidden fruit. He ate of it. And Romans 5, verse 8 tells us that we got the nature of Adam in us. Right? Do your kids have the nature of Adam in them? Mine did, amen? Mine had the nature of Adam in them. I mean, that little baby in the crib, they've got the nature of Adam in them. You say, how do you know? Well, have you ever gone to the crib and seen a baby cry? Fussing and crying? You ever seen it? Of course you have. And you think, oh, it must be hungry. Oh, we must need a diaper change. Something's wrong. Maybe a pin is poking him. And you go and you pick him up and like, he quits crying. No more bawling going on. There ain't nothing wrong with him. He just knew how to get you to come over and pick him up. Right? And there ain't nothing wrong with love. But I'm trying to say this. We all have that nature of Adam in us. Okay, now there's a second Adam the verse talks about, right? The last Adam, verse 45, was made a quickening spirit. So there's two Adams, verse 46. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual. So the first Adam's not a spiritual, right? He's not the spiritual one. But that which is natural. And afterward, that which is natural. Verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. The second Adam is Jesus Christ. And what Jesus Christ did was he made right what the first Adam messed up. Amen? The first Adam sinned. The second Adam came as a payment for the sin. And that second Adam, when he paid for our sin, he made us cleansed in his blood. He made us righteous. He declared righteousness, not of my own or of your own, but it's his righteousness which covers our sin. Amen. The first Adam messed it up. The second Adam made it right. And the second Adam, he fixed the problem that the first Adam created. And that nature of the first Adam's in us. So only he can fix the problem that's in us. Are you with me? And he did. He came on that old cross, shed his blood. It was ugly. It was a horrible sight. It was an awful, gory sight. And he didn't have to do it. But he wanted to make right what the first Adam made wrong. He wanted us to hear the trumpet one day. He wanted that sound to arrive in your ear, that you'd hear it and leave this whole earth one day and not have to be stuck in hell in this earth in corruption. He made it right. I'm glad there was a day when I opened my heart to him. Because you see, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to everybody. The Word of God speaks to us, that teaches us what to do with this sinful nature. And you know, a lot of people do different things with sin. And we don't like to talk about sin. We don't like to preach about it. I'd much rather preach about heaven. Amen. I'd much rather take you to streets of gold and let you look at all the glories of heaven today. But I can't get you there until we fix the problem, right? Amen. Can't get you there. I want to get you there. But more than I want to get you there, there's a God that wants you there. Because I didn't pay for your sin, he did. Amen. He came and shed his blood. Now that's great love. Amen. That's great love. If my child or grandchild was running out in the street and a big truck came by, I think I would have enough love to go run and push them out of the way and take that. I think I would. Now, I've met a few people in life I don't think I'd have that much love for, right? I mean, if Hillary was out on the street and the truck was coming down the road, I might say, Lord, do whatever you will. Amen? You say, that's horrible. Oh, you thought it too. Amen? Here's what I'm saying this morning. Don't miss the point. Point is that we're all corrupted by sin, and we need God to save us. Amen. And you know, it's not water that can save a sin and wash away his corruption. Water can't do that. You can get baptized till you know every fish in the sea, but that can't get you to heaven. We're not saved by water. You know, sometimes a priest will sprinkle water. You seen that? Yeah. Sprinkle water. The only thing that happens is you get wet. That's it. Right. You just get wet. It's not water that saves. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen. And that is what enables us to hear the trumpet. And when that trumpet blows, and it will, and it's going to happen in a moment, we're not all going to sleep. We're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Now, notice verse number 53, please. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. He's talking about after that trumpet sounds, right? Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Do you know the key to death? You know, a lot of people look at death as horrible. I mean, it really is the end of life on this earth as we know it. But the Bible says that death is swallowed up. You ever swallowed anything? We were talking about fishing the other day, and I'm a slow fisherman. When the fish catches the worm, they swallow it before I'm smart enough to know to jerk it. Amen. Some guys are good, and they get it right on the lip. Not me. They got to swallow it, so I got to take all my fish home and eat them, clean them, right? But but death is swallowed up victory. When you swallow something up, it's gone. It's gone. You know why? You know what provided that? That's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the blood of Jesus who paid for every sin you've ever done. Well, what if I can't keep it, preacher? What if I can't keep it? I'll promise you, you can't keep it. Right. I can't keep my salvation. But what salvation, God said, when you get saved in John chapter 10, you're put into God's hand. And the Bible says, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. When you get saved, you're in God's hand. And if you can open God's hand, then you can lose your salvation. But I don't think anybody can open God's hand. So God is saying, all right, death is swallowed up in victory. Why? Because corruption's put on incorruption. How'd that happen? Through the second Adam making what the first Adam messed up. Amen. So I'm saying to you this morning that there is a sound that God wants you to hear. It's the trump. And it's the last one. It's the last one. There is a finality to that trumpet. There is coming a day when that will be the last opportunity of a man to get saved. The last chance. There will be no chances after that. It's the last trump. And when it comes, some will hear it and some will not. I'm looking forward to hearing it. Not because I'm a Baptist. Did you hear me? I'm not going to hear it because I'm a Baptist. You're not going to hear it because you're a Baptist. You say, I'm not going to hear it because I'm a good person. No. We've all sinned. I'm not going to hear it because I'm a good person. And you won't either. Well, I hear it because I was faithful to church. Well, that's good and important. But it can't get you there. Can't get you there. Well, I knew old Pastor Larson. We were friends. You can't get into heaven on somebody else's coattail. Amen. You can only get to heaven by what Jesus did for you. But by the way, when Jesus saved you, he saved you for you, not till you have to hold on to somebody else's coattail. He came to be your friend. He came to be to abide with you. He's your friend. Don't trust somebody else's salvation experience and hang on to that. Well, my parents were Christians, so surely I'll get to heaven. God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children. Are you one of God's children? Are you one of God's children? Well, God, surely I'll hear the trumpet because I was a religious person. I was religious. I did good things, and I tried to avoid as many bad things as I could. That's not what it says. It says that there is victory only through our Lord Jesus Christ. Only through him. If you ever hear that trumpet someday, it'll be because he gave you the victory. That's how you'll hear it. That's how you'll hear it. So we don't need to worry about sin and corruption once you've received Jesus. Because when that trumpet blows, I wonder if there's a conversation going on. God in heaven, who is just and righteous. Go blow that trumpet, Gabriel. It's time to let him come home. It's time. Gabriel says, it's time? It's time. It's time, angels. It's time. It's time to blow the trumpet. Woo-hoo. I bet old Gabriel's cleaning it. Keeping all the valves oiled. I bet he's just kind of waiting right there. You ever seen somebody who plays the trumpet? They always do this with the valves. I don't know why. Maybe they're getting ready. Amen. I can see Gabriel up there. God the Father in his righteousness says, all right, Gabriel, blow that trumpet. But I want to tell you something, Gabriel. It's the last time you're going to blow it. So make it a good one. It's the last time. And Gabriel says, okay, Lord. Ready to blow it. Woo! I don't know what it sounds like. Amen. I have no idea. Bible just says, if you're saved, you'll know it, right? So I'm trusting in that. I don't know what it sounds like. I should have had somebody hide under the piano and blow the trumpet this morning. I should have done. I didn't think of everything. But anyhow, blow that trumpet! Woo! Things going to blow. I wonder if God in heaven looks down and says, see that Jeremy McKenna down there? Do you think he's worthy to come up here? And Jesus looks up at God the Father and he says, oh, you don't have to worry about him. My blood's been applied to his heart. My blood saved him. It's washed him. And he can hear it. He's hearing that trumpet because for some reason he's going up. He ain't staying there. He can hear it. God the Father looks down and says, I'm satisfied with that. The blood of Jesus applied to him. Come on up. Come and be with me. Oh, I want to tell you something. Jesus is the answer for any problem you got. He's the answer to our sin problem. And you know, we all face problems in life. Life deals us troubles. You know, in this world you'll have tribulation, Scripture said. Life deals us trouble. But there's a great trouble that we have in life that's greater than all. And that is this thing of sin on our heart. That's a greater trouble than any other trouble that we have. And that doesn't mean we minimize our other troubles. It means that God wants to take care of the great trouble in our life. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to know it. He wants you to open your heart and come to him. And there's only one way to do it. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not baptism, not good works, not being a Baptist, not being anything. Coming humbly to God and saying, Lord Jesus, I call upon you to come and save me. Because when death comes and when that trumpet blows, I'd rather go up than stay on this earth. Now, how about you? Where are you going to go? What are you trusting in to get you? What are you trusting in that caused you to hear the trumpet? What are you trusting in? If there's anything other that you're trusting in predominantly other than the blood of Jesus Christ, can I tell you something? There is nothing on this earth that will get you to hear that trumpet but the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And he wants to save you. He wants you to call upon him and be saved. And he doesn't want you to wait. Did you know that? God doesn't want you to wait. And if you're here today and you're not saved, you ought not even wait for the invitation. You ought to bow your head right where you're at and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. You know how I know? Because the Bible says today is the accepted time. Now, today is the day of salvation. There's danger in postponing it because we forget and we lose our focus. So God said, come to him today. And I wonder, do you need to come to Jesus today? Do you? Do you really? Are you one of those that's in danger of not hearing that trumpet when it comes? Don't be like that. Don't be that one. Don't be the one working in the field. And you look over and the one you were working with is gone. Don't be that one. Be the one that's gone. Be the one that's gone. How about you? Are you saved today? I'm going to give you an opportunity to be saved today. And trust Christ as your Savior. Will you take the opportunity? Will you take the opportunity? Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's close our eyes.